It was quite fitting that got him on here. Hold on. Raquel shared about freedom, because our theme this morning is freedom with life in and by the Spirit. We're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and all week I have had a song playing in my head, because when you do children's ministry for as many years as I've done children's ministry, you sing a few songs about the fruit of the Spirit so that you get to know them. And the one that's been playing through my head is, if you want to be a fruit of the Spirit, you can't be a whatever kind of fruit you want to be, a banana, and so you make a banana. Because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. My microphone's not on, is it? It's coming and going. Anyway, I won't keep singing it for you. But you sing it over and over and over and over again, and it gets into your head. And so you remember the fruit of the Spirit, which is great. But in order to understand the fruit of the Spirit, we have to have a quick recap of where we've been journeying. We're leading up to Pentecost. We're waiting. We're anticipating the day where we get to celebrate, which is every day, but the big day where we get to celebrate when the Holy Spirit descended on the believers in Jerusalem as they were gathered in the room together waiting the arrival of the Helper as Jesus had promised them and instructed them to do. So we're building up that day and we're building up towards it. I'm really poppy, aren't I? Is it just me? You can hear me poppy. I won't move. I will stay still. It's a good thing I'm not Johnny, because Johnny walks around a little bit more. So I can stay. No, I can't even move my head. Okay. We'll get there. Anyway, so we're working up to this anticipation, this great event in history. We're going to make it big, like we said, and we'll just keep saying we're going to have a baptism service. We've got people interested in being baptized. If you are, there's still time. Come talk to us. We're going to have a bring and share potluck lunch after the service, and it's just going to be a celebration because it's the birth of the church. We might even have some birthday cake. It's the church's birthday, the Holy Spirit coming and descending. So after Easter, we looked at who or what is the Holy Spirit, and we looked that the Holy Spirit is God. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, his helper, the one who has come to live within us. He is God. We say he, it's neutral, but we don't use neutral language very well, so we assign a he to him just because that's what we do. Spirit is actually feminine, but there we go. So the Holy Spirit is God. Then Devin looked at what is salvation? Are we ready to be saved? And all of those things that go with it, repentance, forgiveness. And then last week, Johnny looked at baptism, and what does that mean? New life in Christ, and the significance of your baptism being that moment when you say to your friends and your family and those around you, it says, I am going to live for Christ. My life has been transformed. I'm not going to be perfect because I am human, and that comes with my death upon entry into heaven, but as far as I can do with the Holy Spirit's help, I am going to live for Christ. And so this morning and next week, we're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Johnny will look at the fruit of the Spirit next week, the actual fruits of the Spirit. They are not bananas and oranges and pineapples. They are characteristics for our life. But we're going to look at the beginning of that passage this week. And if your Bible is like my Bible and it has little title headings, mine is Life by the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 13. You see, we've talked about salvation, we've talked about repentance, we've talked about baptism. What ultimately all of that means is that we are a child of God. Isn't that great? We are a child of God. If we believe in Jesus, then I am a child of God. You don't get much better than that. You really don't. To be a child of the creator of the universe is pretty awesome. And so as a child of God, that means that my life is no longer my own. But I have aligned myself with my God. My life then becomes one of my life by the Spirit. Life by the Spirit, because when I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, when I have said I believe in Jesus, he doesn't just leave us to get on with it ourselves, but his Spirit dwells within us, guiding us, helping us,
Whatever type of words you want to use for it, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, his spirit, the spirit of God lives in me and testifies with my spirit that I am a child of God. My life by the spirit looks a certain way, and it looks like freedom. Freedom not to just go and live my life however I want to live, because when we become a child of God and the Spirit dwells within us and we are no longer our own, our lives should reflect the kingdom of which we are a part of. Not an earthly kingdom, not a kingdom that is governed by our sinful nature, but a kingdom that is ruled by an everlasting king. By God. And so our life should reflect and show the fruit of this fact that the Spirit of God lives within us. Let's read Galatians 5, starting at verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, this is Paul writing to the church in Galatia. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, and orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Father God, as we look to your word now, God, I pray that you will just use me. Despite technology that can go wrong, God, that you will just speak to each of our hearts this morning from your words. Use me in my weaknesses and open our eyes to a life that is so amazing because of the gift of your Spirit. Amen. So I was in Bible quizzing when I was in high school because I grew up in Arizona and we did that and we had competitions and I was the memory verse person. Don't ask me all my verses now because I probably couldn't tell you where they're found, but Galatians was one of the books that we did. And in one of the questions, which wasn't a memory verse, but which one of the questions was, what are the acts of the sinful nature? And so you had to jump up off your seat first so that your buzzer would go off, and then you had 30 seconds to name the acts of the sinful nature. So I used to be able to do that. I could try it, but I probably couldn't. But I've remembered them, right? And the same with the fruit of the Spirit. Well, what are the fruits of the Spirit? So you had 30 seconds. That was easier. There's not as many of them. So it was a little bit easier. But this passage for me has always been significant. You know, as I said, when you're in children's ministry, you do the fruits of the Spirit. There's a whole bunch of crafts. We might even do it for the next messy church. I don't know. We've quite decided. But there's so much you can do with the fruits of the Spirit because fruit is something that we understand. So this passage has always really, really spoken to me. But this week, as I've been going through it, some new things jumped out. And that's why I love the Word of God, because it is living, breathing, alive. And every time you read it, God will speak to you in a new way. It might be the same way for a few times, but if you're reading the Word of God with an open mind and an open heart, He will speak to you. And this week, there were a few words that really jumped out to me. And the first is the fact that Paul starts this whole section with, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Free. You're no longer slaves. If you read all of Galatians, it talks a lot about being slaves to the law of sin and death. being slaves to the way that we used to live before we knew Christ. That sinful nature that is within us that began all the way back in the Garden of Eden, not the way that we were created, because we were not created as sinful beings, but sin entered the world, and thus we are now sinful beings. We were created to be in constant communion with our Creator, unblemished. But when sin entered the world, we needed salvation. We needed somebody to wash us clean, to put us back into that right relationship. And that came with Christ's death, birth, life, death, and resurrection. That put us back into that right relationship. So when Paul says you are called to be free, you're not required to live by the law of sin and death. You're not required to live by your sinful nature. You are called to live in freedom, because when Christ dwells in you, when his Spirit lives in you, you are free. And the law is fulfilled, not canceled, not becomes obsolete, but fulfilled. Jesus' death on the cross fulfilled the law. When his Spirit comes to live within us, we are fulfilling the law. No longer slaves. That is huge. But it becomes then a daily battle. A daily battle that we have to choose to live for Christ or to live by our sinful nature. Because when the Spirit comes to live within us, it doesn't go poof. You're holy and you will never mess up. You are just going to be this little floating on a cloud, everything's perfect and nothing goes wrong. No, even Jesus tells us in this life you will have many trials, right? Great. That's not reality. So every single day, as a child of God, we have to choose whom we are going to be a slave to. Are we going to let our sinful nature dictate how we live our lives? Are we going to allow the Spirit to live in us and through us, guiding us in freedom? And this is the bit that really got me this week, that I was just blown. Verse 16. Just 16 to 18. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Walking and being led are two very different types of verbs. We have a dog. She actually provides more sermon illustrations for me than my children do, which is quite interesting. But I was thinking about this week. When you decide to go for a walk, you are actively making a decision to go for a walk. Tilly needs to be walked. It's nice now that it's nice. I can do dog walks in the nice weather. Not looking forward to next winter with dog walks again. But when she needs to go for a walk, I have to make a decision. I have to say, Jen, your dog needs a walk. She can't walk herself. She'd run away. We have a treadmill. We haven't actually tried her on it yet. Maybe we should. But I have to choose to take Tilly for a walk, which means I have to get up from whatever I was doing. I have to put my shoes on. I no longer have to put my coat on. I have to open the door. I have to put her leash on, probably before I open the door. And then we have to go for a walk. Now, while we're on that walk, something very different happens. I have made the decision to go. Now I have another decision. I can lead Tilly, or Tilly can lead me. If she led me, we wouldn't get very far, because she'd be smelling everything and going in every little crevice and all around and about. I lead Tilly. But what Paul's saying here is, I say to you, walk by the Spirit. So, make a decision. Actively say, I am going to walk by the Spirit. I am going to live my life by the Spirit. I am going to let the Spirit have control of my life, actively choosing to live by the Spirit. Two verses later, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We actively make the decision to allow the Spirit to lead us. You don't look as shocked as I was this week with this. That is huge. This is the battle, right? This is the daily choice we as children of God have to make. God, today I choose to actively say, I want you to lead me in this day. And then you sit back and let him lead you. You let him guide you to conversations that you might have that point to him. Now, it still means you do stuff, but you allow him to control it. You allow him to open your eyes to a situation that you might completely ignore because you're so actively trying to do your own thing. But it takes that active decision. God, I am going to live for you today. I'm going to let your Spirit reign in my life. Each and every day, we have to actively choose to live our life by the Spirit. And then he's in control. Sometimes when we walk Tilly, she walks really good when it's just Johnny or I walking her. She seems to do fantastic. Took the kids out to some lake that we can never remember the name of yesterday. She is awful. When there's kids about, she's got to be in the lead. She pulls, she tugs, she goes every way you don't want her to go. She goes into puddle, everything, right? She just goes bad. And again, it made me think, okay, you know, God, today I'm going to live for you. But I want to do this. And maybe there's a gentle tug on our lead. No, you've said you're going to live for me today. Why don't you go this way? Why don't you open your eyes to that situation that you're not going to see if you tug yourself this way, but I want you to go this way. That active determination into a passive, God, you're in control. And as we are led, the product is the fruit of the Spirit. As we allow him to guide us, our lives reflect him in everything that we do. You know, Paul says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Now, he also says in some of his other books that, you know, salvation is not by works. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, not of the things that you've done, so that nobody can boast. So why does he put a list here? Why does he put a list of the sinful nature, and why does he put a list of the Spirit? They're not lists to go, ooh, I'm doing that, so I'm not good. Ooh, I'm doing that, so I'm good. Ooh, I can't do that because that's a part of that. It's not a do and don't. Salvation isn't by works. But when we are led by the Spirit, when our life is lived by the Spirit, there is a natural transformation within us. And if we are truly allowing him to lead us, our lives are not going to be showing the acts of the sinful nature. They're going to be showing the fruit of the Spirit. Because we're allowing him to guide us. And he's not going to guide us into sexual immorality. He's not going to guide us into witchcraft, into hatred, into discord, into jealousy, into fits of rage, selfishness, envy, drunkenness, and the like. This is not exhaustive. It's not just sexual. It's not just one element. It's anything that's not of the Spirit, which is a lot of things. Which is a lot of things that the world is saying, oh, do that, that's okay. Oh, live that way, that's fine. Oh, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to know. You can do that in secret and still live like you're living by the Spirit. If we have actively chosen to follow Christ and are walking by his Spirit, allowing him to lead us, our lives reflect him. and not us. One of the commentaries I was reading went so far as to ask the question, you know, because Paul says at the end of the acts of the sinful nature, therefore those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That can lead to, well, oh, I struggle with this. I struggle with jealousy. I struggle with selfishness. I struggle with rage. I struggle with whatever it might be. Does that mean I've missed it? If you feel like you struggle with it, you're on the right path. Because you're struggling with it. It's when you don't care. It's when you choose to live your life by the acts of the sinful nature and don't care about the consequences. Don't care about what other people think. You say, this is my life and I'm going to live it as I want. But if you are said you're being led by the Spirit and that's your attitude in regard to your sinful nature, as opposed to, I've messed up again. I'm really struggling with this. God, I really need your help on this. Are you really being led by the Spirit? Has your salvation really meant something to you if you don't even care what you're doing? We should be struggling with it. As we said, we're not going to be perfect. When the Spirit comes to live within our lives, He wants to make us perfect. He wants to make us holy. He wants to make us His beautiful, perfectly created child. But it's that battle. And if we're not battling with it, have you truly let the Spirit come into your life? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. We are not saved because we are holy. But we are holy because we are saved. That's what this is about. It's not perfect. Fruit isn't there to be a new law for us to then sit there in judgment on each other. Well, you weren't very gentle about that. I'm not very gentle. I need work on that one. Patience, that's my hard one. I don't have a lot of it. I need more. We're not there to then tick off, well, you know how you responded to that situation? That was not very holy. That's not what it's about to. The fruit of the Spirit is a result of total surrender to the Spirit of God in our lives. A daily choice to follow Him, to be led by Him. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives freedom. Let's live by the Spirit. Put to death the old life. Keep battling with it. Don't say I've conquered it, because in Christ you can, but if you start to get a little bit arrogant about it, guarantee that's when the devil's going to come in and say, ha ha, you think you know what you're doing, but I've still got you. Keep battling each and every day. God, I want to live for you. I choose to let you lead me. Since we live by the Spirit, Paul says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Johnny's going to look next week at a little bit more of what does the fruit of the Spirit look like in our lives. And we've named them today. We know what they are. And I'm sure that as you think about them, you can think of people who have a beautiful display of fruit within their lives. But it's not just for some people. It's for anybody who chooses to be led by the Spirit. But it's that choice we have to make. Father God, we thank you for leading us. We thank you for not pushing us, for not forcing us, but for allowing us to make that decision, that active determination to follow you and to allow you to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. How beautiful our lives and freedom can be when we make that choice. But God, we acknowledge that it is an everyday choice. We can't just say something once and be good to go. Each and every day, each and every decision, God, we have to say, lead us. We allow you to lead us. And God, we are open for your Spirit to move us in ways that we cannot even imagine. Because God, we know that your ways are higher than our ways. You know, we know that your thoughts are greater than our thoughts. We know that you are the God of the impossible. And so God, when we are led by you, what incredible things can be done in your kingdom, for your kingdom. When we relinquish ourselves and give control over to you, who is so much more worthy and deserving of that control. God, I pray for each and every one of us here that this week we will begin that journey of daily dying to ourselves and living for you, of daily making that choice to be led by you. And God, for those of us who are all of us, who struggle with some of the list of our sinful natures, God, we know and we recognize and we acknowledge that you have set us free. And so God, help us to battle with it. Help us to know when we have done something that is not of your Spirit. Help us to, you know, just challenge us. Gently pull us in the direction that you want us to go. Remind us that, guys, that's not of me. And fill us with your fruit. We can't do it without you, God. Individually or as a body. We need you. We need your Spirit. And God, we just pray less of us, less of me, and more of you. Amen. In your name, amen.